as I've mentioned before, one of the main charges that was brought against the leaders of Israel was that they failed to warn the people of the terrible dangers that are ahead. And so when these dangers came, when the catastrophe of national disaster came, when Israel was to be wiped out because of their sins, they were unprepared because they had not been warned. And it came as a thief in the night. The judgment of God came as a thief in the night and caught them unprepared, and they were wiped out as a nation. And that happened more than once. And I don't wish to be guilty of such a failure. And that is why in these series of messages, I have been speaking about the danger that is coming to the church. The danger from somebody that in the Bible is called the Antichrist. So that on that day, when I stand and when you stand, we together will stand before the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will not be laid to my charge that I had not warned you of the dreadful danger that is before us. Frightening danger. And that is the reason for this series of messages that I have been preaching on for over a year now, every month. Now, last time it was interesting that I spoke about the cold, long winter of the Antichrist. And I also mentioned how in Canada we know how to prepare for the winter. Because the winter, if you are not prepared for it in Canada, is not just you will be feeling cold. It could cost you your life. And every driver in Canada knows the danger of driving on the interstate highways, in the intercity highways, when if the car breaks down, you may have only 20 minutes in which to live. Because if that car breaks down and nobody comes to your rescue in 20 minutes, the engine stops working, the heating goes off, you may not have much more time left. And therefore, I mentioned last time too that in Canada, we are well prepared or ought to be well prepared for this. And there are a number of things that we do. One of these things is to have a radio in your car. That is not a luxury, it's a necessity in Canada. And yet it's an amazing thing that many Canadian drivers do not carry a radio in their cars. It's called a CB radio, a citizen band radio, from which especially you can call for help. Usually the police tune in to the emergency channel of that radio. And yet I know many drivers in Canada who drive intercity and carry no radio. Now you can hope for the best if your car breaks down and you can't call for help in the middle of the night when few cars are on the road. In the daytime you might be able to flag another car down and ask for help. But what if you are in some part where there aren't very few cars coming by, and Canada is a huge country with relatively few people. And if you are not able to flag a car down for help, you are gone. You might have 20 minutes, you may have 30 minutes. So the radio is an important thing in the long winter of the Antichrist. And it will seem very long to those who have to endure it. If you endure 20 minutes of cold, it's a very long time. 20 minutes by your watch is not very long, but 20 minutes of suffering is a very long time. In the long winter of the Antichrist, we must have our spiritual radios going if we are going to survive. And the important thing is that you have a radio at all, and a radio that works. And the radio symbolizes for us prayer, communion with God. Let me say this to you, when the Antichrist comes and you don't know how to pray and you don't pray, you are gone in some spiritual equivalent of 20 minutes when the Antichrist turns his attention on you. Do you know how to pray? Now, if you want to start learning to pray then, it might be a little bit late in the day. These are things we have to prepare now. You've got to get your radio into the car before the winter starts. There's no use trying to look around and try to get a radio going and find that in the middle of the winter and your car breaks down and you turn on your CB radio and the shock to discover that your radio is not working anymore. It has long since packed up. And you can shout all you like into the radio, nobody will hear you. And it will be getting colder and colder. At minus 20 degrees, as is a quite constant temperature in Canada, say in December and January, that is no way to prepare for disaster if your radio is not working. We must learn to pray. That is the way to be able at all times to draw strength and help from the Lord. A second thing that every Canadian driver who knows the Canadian winter should be doing is that once it's beginning to get cold, you change your tires on the car and you put on what are called snow tires. You just cannot drive in a Canadian winter with ordinary tires. The kind of tires that cars use in Hong Kong simply cannot drive in Canada in winter. That car will be off the road and into the ditch long before it can go anywhere. You need special kinds of tires that are really like weapons. They knock into the snow and the ice and they grip the ice. It's amazing how they can grip that ice. I sometimes wonder how it's done. And yet it can hold on where other tires simply could not make any impression at all. Your wheel would just be spinning on the ice. But the snow tire is like a weapon. It seizes the ice. It seems to knock or bash into the ice and give the car some kind of a grip. And we too need to have a grip on the road. On the road, or the way as it is called in the New Testament, the road to life. To be on the road is one thing. To have wheels that spin on the ice and cannot grip the road, it doesn't take you anywhere. You may be on the right road, your car may be facing the right direction, but you're going nowhere. And especially not if you get into a ditch. So that's the important thing. To be able to hold fast in the most adverse and difficult conditions. Can you hold fast even in good conditions? When a tire is worn and its thread is gone, even in good road conditions, the car will not perform very well. And once it starts raining like today, the car will be sliding off the road. It hasn't got enough grip. We need special grip upon the road to hold fast. And that road is the Word of God. Jesus is the way, and He is the Word. And we must keep a grip in the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is not just printed words. It is true to say that Christianity is Christ. It is summed up in the person of Jesus. He is the Word. It is not a religion. It's not a philosophy. It is a person. To stay in the Word of God is to stay in Jesus. To stay in Jesus is also to stay in His Word. Abide in me and my Word abide in you. You must abide with the Word. Do you know your Bible? Do you know the Word of God? Now, if you will start on that day when the Antichrist is here to try and start learning the Bible, you're a bit too late. You don't start putting on snow tires when you're in the middle of nowhere in the ice. You put on the snow tires in Canada before it starts to snow. Once it starts to snow, you might not get to the garage at all. A third thing that we need to do. First is prayer. The second is the Word of God. And the third thing is this. In cold weather, what do you do? I spoke last time of the cold winter, and look what happened. Today we got winter. As though to illustrate my point, the winter has come suddenly upon us, and we are feeling it. My hands even now are cold, and my feet are cold, and I won't tell you how much clothing I have on right now. I feel quite embarrassed, especially with Calvin there. He sits there as though it's still in the middle of summer, but I'm dressed so much, I got so much clothing on here, and I'm still cold. I see some of you don't look that warm either. The Bible tells us a very interesting thing. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on. The Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed as clothing that we need to put on. clothing does a lot of things. It protects us. It beautifies us, especially the sisters, of course. We spend a lot of time studying the mirror because they want to see if their clothing is the right color and then matches properly. It's not too long, it's not too short, not too broad at the shoulders, not too narrow. Everything has to be right. It beautifies us. It protects us against the cold. It does a lot of things. I could preach a whole message simply on clothing. Not that I'm a clothing expert, but simply to tell you, to illustrate what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go out on the street, you see some people wearing uniforms. You realize that they are policemen. Just now they seem to have changed to their winter uniforms. They were wearing a lighter color, now they're wearing darker color. But how do you know he's a policeman? Well, you look at his clothing, you know he's a policeman. His clothing tells you something about him. It tells you that he's a person with some authority. Maybe he thinks too highly of his authority sometimes, but he has some authority because he has got a uniform on. The same way, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ means all of these things. He protects us. He keeps us in the cold winter of the Antichrist. He beautifies us and glorifies us. And he gives us authority as his people. Authority against the power of the enemy. And so we can see that we must be prepared for the winter of the Antichrist in these three important ways. Now, I must rush on with my message because I'm trying to wind up this series, which, as I have mentioned, has gone on over a year already. And by the way, I should also mention that next month, I shall not be preaching here because, as some of you will know, I shall be away with our church in Singapore, because they are having an Easter, they will be having a Christmas camp in Malaysia. So this series will be discontinued next month, and I shall resume again in January, and I hope very soon to wind up this series of messages. But what I have also have to warn you about concerning the Antichrist, and which I have been trying to warn you again and again, but I think this message sinks in with great difficulty, is that it is relatively easy to prepare for a winter for an enemy that we can recognize. But it is hard to prepare for an enemy that we cannot recognize. Now, what happens with winter? Well, it may come very suddenly, like the Hong Kong winter, right? You remember the day before, it suddenly got cold, it was still very warm. It was quite hot, in fact. And suddenly, the next day, the temperature started to plunge. We had so little preparation, and look at how cold it is. 2 days ago, it was still warm. 2 days later, we are freezing. So we had to rush to get our winter clothes out, get our clothes on to keep warm. Well, we can still watch a certain change of events that prepares us for the coming of the cold. Well, we are trained to do this because winter comes for most of us every year, so we are well trained. But we are not so well trained when it comes to the question of the Antichrist, because the situation is such that the Antichrist doesn't come every year. In fact, we have trouble knowing when he has come and when he hasn't come. And although there have been some minor antichrists in preparation for the great coming antichrist, we have trouble even recognizing the minor antichrist, let alone the great antichrist who will come. So that means that the coming of antichrist, the great antichrist, may take us as much by surprise as the cold weather that has come upon us now. I've also warned that there are two ways in which the Antichrist has been taught today. And I hope by now you are beginning to be clear from previous messages what that is. But I see that for many, there is still a great deal of difficulty. Now, I have mentioned again and again that I am not alone in warning that the Antichrist will be from within the church, not from outside the church. That is the most shocking part of the whole thing. In fact, the pastor's wife, who was here recently and listened to the message, was quite astonished indicating she had not heard such teaching before, an admission that her husband was not prepared to make in front of me. But unfortunately, it's true. There are many pastors today who are not even aware of this teaching. They neither prepare their congregations for the coming of the Antichrist, nor not even know how to go about preparing. They don't even know enough about the Antichrist to preach on it. But I noticed that more and more books are being published on this subject. Now, a few months ago, when we met in the Lutheran church, you recall, because this place was closed for a holiday, we met in the Lutheran church. I mentioned to you a book with a very shocking title. And the title was Condemned Through the Church. And you remember I mentioned to you that the author said that he wanted to use a much stronger title than that. But the stronger title frightened even the publisher, the Christian publishers, who begged him to modify the title and make it less shocking. But even then, the title was shocking enough, called Condemned Through the Church. Now, if you get the notion that these books that are coming out more and more in these days, and I thank God that God is raising some of his servants to see the danger and to warn the church. But if you think that these books are written by some fringe people, people on the fringe of the church, who do not represent the proper leadership of the church, who are just over enthusiastic and over anxious, people who are a certain type of spiritual quacks, that is, people who don't quite know what they are saying, theological and biblical ignoramuses, ignorant people, and you are quite mistaken. This book that was with the title Condemned to the Church, in fact, I brought it here with me. I used the wrong term. Just as well, I looked at the title of the book again. It's called Damned Through the Church. Very strong. Condemned is even too intellectual and too nice. He uses a much rougher word, damned through the church. Quite offensive, isn't it? It is written by somebody called John Warwick Montgomery. Now, if you are inclined to think that books like this are written by nutcases on the fringe of the church, you would be surprised. John Montgomery is a minister of the Lutheran Church, and it didn't strike me at that time that I was preaching in the Lutheran Church that Sunday. It says here at the back that he has seven earned degrees. Seven. Of these seven earned degrees, if this kind of thing impresses you, two of them are doctorates. One a PhD and one a doctor of theology. Not quite written by an ignoramus, is it? Not quite by some nutcase on the fringe of the church. But recently,